Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Kevin D. Randall joining us. He is, I guess, one of the leading lights behind Roswell Research and also the Dream Team, and I'll ask him about that. He's author of a new book called Alien Mysteries, Conspiracies, and Cover-Ups. Well, not so new. It's been out for a few months, but it's worth a read. It's a great read, a lot of fun to read, a lot of interesting information. And you may not agree with what he has to say, but you find it quite interesting. Kevin Randall, welcome back to the Paracast. We're always glad to have you on.
It's about time. I've been waiting months and months for you to call me.
You really have, huh?
No, not at all.
No, he doesn't know who we are. You know, if I don't write to him, we don't exist.
That's right.
Exactly. Okay, so you had a bang-up time over at the Citizen Hearing for Disclosure. You were one of the featured speakers. Tell us your reaction. First of all, tell us what you did to have such a great time. Was it just that presentation, or were you really just raising heck on the side?
I used the opportunity to make contact with some people that I needed to talk to for my next book. I did what I called my walking tour one morning. The hotel was close to the mall, so I went down to see the Washington Monument and the Vietnam Veterans Wall and the Lincoln Memorial and all of that. And it took an hour and a half or so to walk around and see all that. Went up and saw the White House, took a picture of it, so the next time I do something on the Washington Nationals, I have a nice picture of the White House I can use that I took personally. In that respect, it was very good. I looked forward to it because the book I just handed in was on what you can find in the government files, Secrets of the Government Files, and one of the people there was John Callahan, who was the FAA inspector, the leader of the investigation of the JAL 1628 sighting over Alaska a number of years ago. Had a chance to talk with him, had a chance to talk to Robert Salas again, talked to John Burroughs and Jim Pendleton about Bentwaters. So I got an opportunity to talk to a lot of the people that I wanted to get some new quotes from and that sort of thing for the book. So there was in that respect, it was a very good opportunity for me to do that. I did a presentation which I talked about some of the things going on in the Roswell case that don't get a lot of publicity and kind of took it in a little bit different direction because I knew that Stan was going to be doing a presentation and Don Schmidt would do one. So I wanted mine to be a little different than theirs. And, of course, we each had our own take on where things were going. That worked out really well. And then we did the Roswell panel on one afternoon. And interestingly enough, and Jesse Marcel and members of his family were on the panel as well. It seemed to go very smoothly. The only thing was I had mentioned to them, the former senators and congressmen, that their take on why the Project Blue Book had ended and the Condon Committee was kind of an error, and gave them all a short paper that actually appeared on my blog at one point about how the Air Force had manipulated that whole thing. So they had a different take on how Blue Book came about and ended. So it was an opportunity to exchange some ideas with people, convince some people of the level of research that often goes on in UFO research, the credibility of the people that we're talking to. And we had an opportunity to just discuss things with people and meet some old friends and make some new ones.
Okay, so in terms of Roswell, is there anything that we should know that really isn't getting a lot of attention as we review the case over the years?
Well, I think the problem is the Air Force diverted attention away with it with the nonsensical Project Mogul explanation. And I think that one of the things, and you'd mentioned before we went on the air, we're going to talk about the Dream Team. One of the things we have done is looked at the Project Mogul stuff very, very carefully to see where that goes. And, you know, they've always said, well, flight number 4 was canceled, but they flew a Mogul flight anyway later in the day. And if you read the diary done by Albert Crary, his field notes, and then the official diary of the launches, you find out that flight number 4 was, in fact, canceled. And what they did was fly a cluster of balloons later in the day to test a microphone. So it basically stayed over the White Sands Missile Range area, so it didn't get into restricted or out of restricted airspace. And so the idea that Project Mogul left debris of any kind up toward where Mac Brazel found it is just simply doesn't work. You need to reduce Mogul to basically a footnote as a explanation that had been offered, but was upon additional research is really not plausible.
I want to ask you one more thing here. One of the members of your Dream Team, Tony Bregaglia, has come out with a theory that the Aztec case may indeed have been based on Roswell. It's just a fork in the road, and that refers to the same case.
Well, I think anybody who's looked at Aztec and looked at Roswell may have come to that conclusion a long time ago. I've often thought that Silas Newton and Leo Gebauer had heard about the crash. I mean, it was in all the newspapers, the thing falling at Roswell, and so they just took a hold of this idea there was a UFO crash and moved it to Aztec because they were actually in the area, I think, trying to buy oil leases or sell oil leases to somebody in some kind of a scam they had going up there, and just plugged in Aztec. But I've often thought, especially right after the Roswell stuff began to break, and in fact, when I first saw the Roswell incident book, my first thought was, well, this is just Aztec repackaged. And I think it's actually the idea for a UFO crash may have been generated out of the material that came out of Roswell, but really Aztec has no relationship to the Roswell case at all, other than these guys, it may have given the guys the idea of claiming alien technology for their, what they called a doodle bug, or what they call their little machine that was supposed to be able to find oil underground.
So it was basically just a mechanism, a scheme to take Roswell, move it to Aztec, and do it for their own personal gain?
I don't think there was ever that much conscious thought about it. Take Roswell, move it to Aztec for their scheme. I think it was the idea of an alien spaceship crash, and they had alien technology that allowed them to invent this machine that would be great at finding minerals, including oil, underground. And they set it in Aztec simply because that was where they were working at the time. I think Gebauer had been to Aztec a couple of times in early 1948. So I think it was the idea of alien technology being involved in their machinery is what was important. And the Roswell case really didn't figure into it much at all. It was just the idea of an alien spacecraft crash. You could say, I suppose, Shreveport, Louisiana gave them the idea of an alien spaceship crash, even though Shreveport is a proven hoax.
Okay, so no crashes in Shreveport. Okay, so why then does a person like Scott Ramsey, who's a bright guy, who's done an awful lot of work on this case, why does he continue to maintain that something really happened at Aztec? And I'll give you a sidelight of this. I had lunch with Scott Ramsey. He was in the Arizona area a few months back, mostly just to do business. He does some business here with his company. And so we sat down and talked. And he said to me, you know, I'm still getting more information. We might update the book with some corrections because one of the chapters was apparently the wrong version, a draft version. So they're going to fix that up. He's still doing it. Why?
You'd have to ask him. I think that the problem with Aztec is it starts with two con men. The story that Ramsey tells in the book is similar to the story told by the two con men, but it diverges a number of places. He quotes in the book a police officer named Sandoval, Emmanuel Sandoval, I think it is, as if he's actually interviewed the guy. And the best they've done is they found a relative who thinks Sandoval may have said something about this. So when you read the book, you get the idea that Emmanuel Sandoval, who was a policeman in not in Aztec, I think the town is Cuba, which is southeast of Aztec, if I remember the map right, and you get the impression he was there, or he was interviewed by Ramsey, but he wasn't, because Sandoval had died long before Ramsey got interested in this.
Okay, so this was maybe a little bit of misdirection there, which is unfortunate, because if you try to quote someone who heard something from somebody and it's a couple of places removed, you have no idea what really might have happened. We have Kevin Randall joining us this week. He has a recent book out called Alien Mysteries, Conspiracies, and Cover-Ups. I'm going to ask him a few things about that book after we get past Roswell. Coming up in a future episode of the Paracast, we'll explore the book by Richard Taranto called War Over Lemuria. Lots more coming with Gene and Chris, because you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors. Summer is just about here. The weather's great. The kids are getting out of school, or maybe they're out of school already, as they are in Arizona, and there are many places you'd rather be. But even though you don't want to be at work, business never stops. Well, here's the good news. You can escape the office and still stay connected to your coworkers and clients. Share ideas, solve problems, get projects done. Just use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. This is the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes just a click to share your screen and work on your documents in real time. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST for GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
In emergency preparedness, the day of is too late. The day of a tornado, hurricane, earthquake, or act of terrorism is too late to prepare. But what if today was different? What if you could do something smart and special to save lives the day of? My friends, today is that day. FreezeDryGuy.com is having a 25% off sale on Mountain House cans, the world's finest freeze-dried food. With a 30-year shelf life, it's food you can trust and enjoy when you need it most. And today, it's 25% off only at FreezeDryGuy.com. Since 1970, FreezeDryGuy has been your trusted source for survival and outdoors food. Go to FreezeDryGuy.com today for 25% off food your family needs. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-FOOD. Today is what counts. Tomorrow may be too late.
Have you ever consumed protein powder supplements? I have, and all of them don't taste that good. Have artificial flavors, sweeteners, or unhealthy sugars. About a year ago, I was introduced to a new protein powder that changed my experience. This protein powder made me feel noticeably better, and it tasted more delicious than any drink I've ever had. Here's the experience of one satisfied user named Rich.
The term best of all worlds has been belabored to death. And yet I've just discovered a whey protein powder that truly deserves to be called best of all worlds. Best taste by far. Best results by far. You almost feel like you're cheating that something that tastes that good could be so good for you. Thank you, Stephen, and Cocoon Nutrition. One World Whey truly is the best of all worlds. The only way for me. Yours truly, Rich from Georgia. Real user, real happy.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we've got Kevin Randall, very prolific author. You know, he hasn't written quite as many books as Nick Redfern, but he's getting up there. I'm not talking about his age. I'm talking about his wisdom in his latest book, Alien Mysteries, Conspiracies and Cover-Ups.
I haven't written as many books as Nick Redfern?
No, he's
Are
written
you
about
sure
400,
about
you know, I think. And, of course, Brad Steiger has written 3,000 books.
If you're talking about UFO books, it's either Brad Steiger and I who have written the most UFO books. We go back and forth.
Right, because what happens here is Nick covers monsters. The last time we had Nick on, we were talking about monsters.
See?
Okay.
We don't count the monster books. And if you count my science fiction books and my action adventure books, Brad still beats me because he's got like 175 books he's published, and I'm running around 112, 115. So.
All right. Well, there you go. You know, let's get back to Tony Bregaglia again, because
okay.
Something bothers me about him. Not that he has these interesting theories. Okay, he doesn't believe in the Sicario, New Mexico case. That's fine. Entitled to his opinion. He may have a point here about saying that Aztec is really just repackaged Roswell. All right, fine. Ask him to come on the show. And I gather he claims to be working in a sensitive business without going into details. That's his personal business. But he says he doesn't want his voice to be heard. He's willing to do an email interview. And I think that's absurd. I think, all right, you know who he is. You've read his material. What difference does it make if we hear his voice? We're not seeing his face.
Again, you'd have to ask Tony that. I know Tony is semi-secretive about his personal life. And it may be that he does a lot of stuff on the telephone. So if you hear his voice on the radio, over the Internet, and then he calls you on the phone, you realize he's the UFO guy. I don't know. I don't know why he does that. I know that Tony and I don't agree on a lot of stuff, but he's a very tenacious researcher. He can find a lot of information that sometimes we can't get to because he has a lot of additional sources that he can bring into play. So he's very tenacious in his research. He and I don't agree on a lot of things. I mean, he and I have argued about Socorro. I just don't think that his explanation that it was a hoax created by the students at the New Mexico Mining and Technology there in Socorro, the college or the university there. I don't think he's proven that case. But you know, he has his opinion on that. He and I have argued about it, and we agree to disagree on it. I don't know why he wouldn't come on the radio to talk.
Yeah, I always think maybe what we could do is just distort his voice. You know, change the frequency, make his voice deeper, make his voice higher.
It also may be that there are people who can think very well on the page, but if you get them into a verbal discussion, that they're not as eloquent as they could be, and that might be the problem there too. He just doesn't feel that he's eloquent enough or articulate enough to do a radio interview. I don't know. I mean, you know, who's
you've talked to him on the phone, haven't you?
Yes. But that's really not quite the same thing as being on the radio, because you're talking one-on-one to somebody, and if you flub your syntax or you screw up the definition of a word or mispronounce it, only one person knows. You do it on the radio, and literally thousands and thousands of people can hear that mistake. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why he wouldn't want to come on the radio.
Well, I invite you to encourage him.
I will do so.
Okay, tell him that we're real pussycats here. No, we'll ask him hard questions. And as long as he answers the questions, we can go on with that. We'll accept that. And we're not going to play a little recording that I have. I haven't used it yet, but I was thinking of using it when we reference guests who won't come on the show. It's that of a chicken. And I think I'll just aim that at Whitley Strieber. I think he's one of the few people who has said, I'm not going to come on the show, after he says he's going to come on the show. Which is confusing. I'm not going to get into that. Let's get back into Roswell.
Well, would you like my Whitley Strieber story?
Sure, I'd love it. Maybe this will encourage Whitley Strieber to come on.
I doubt it seriously.
Maybe it will discourage him even further, but I don't care. Go ahead.
Back in the olden days, when Jim Moseley was doing his national UFO conventions, you know, somebody would host it and he would show up. And I was invited to talk about the abduction enigma, which had just come out, the abduction book. And I was sitting there holding a copy of the book, and Strieber walked up and he tapped the book and he says, "This is not true," and he walked off. That's my whole interaction with Whitley Strieber right there.
All right. Well, I know he and Bud Hopkins didn't see eye to eye. I remember this goes back, I guess, to the late 1980s. I'm sitting in my home and I get a phone call. "Hi, this is Bud Hopkins." I didn't even know he had my phone number. It wasn't listed, but okay, fine. And he told me his feelings about Whitley Strieber that I shall not repeat, even though Bud Hopkins is no longer around. It was too involved to get into. I didn't take notes, so it wouldn't be fair. I'd be misquoting a conversation that's, 25 years old. And these two guys just didn't get along. You thought, you know, at one point they were sort of working together in the early days. And then they had some sort of falling out. There you go. Back to Roswell, though. Let's get back to Roswell quickly.
Back to Roswell, okay.
All right, very briefly before we go on. With Roswell, is there anything that your new research, where you're looking at this thing as a cold case, trying to put a fresh coat of paint on it, figure out what's going on, anything you've learned that changes your perceptions or gives us something that's closer to a smoking gun?
Well, Gibby, I think we might be coming closer to the smoking gun on a couple of avenues of research. And one of those deals, of course, with the Ramey memo and applying today's technology to that photograph that they didn't have 15, 20 years ago, that we might be able to actually digitize it and come up with a method of reading that paper that is duplicatable by other people. So it's not just, well, this is what we think we see. It's here's what we did to get to this point. If you follow these steps, you may get to the same point. And
okay, I need to backtrack here because our listeners are going to say, crazy. What is he talking about? What paper where?
Okay, back in 1947, right after the Roswell crash had happened, material was sent to Fort Worth, Texas, which was the higher headquarters of 509 Bomb Group in Roswell. Roger Ramey was the commanding general of the 8th Air Force. There were a series of photographs of him taken in his office on July 8, 1947. So we have a provenance for the photograph. We actually have the cut line that was sent out with the photograph that dates it. So we know precisely when it was taken. We know precisely when it was sent. And we know who's in it because it's Roger Ramey and he's holding this piece of paper. So we know we have a good provenance. I can't think of a better provenance than I have. The guy's holding paper so you can see it. The problem is the camera wasn't focused on the paper. It was, of course, focused on Ramey. So the paper is somewhat blurry. There are some words that you can actually read on the paper by looking at a blow-up of the photograph. I mean, you don't even need a magnifying glass. You can see Fort Worth, Texas, and you can see weather balloons. I mean, easily see that. So everybody can see that. But the paper was slightly folded. It wasn't straight on. So most of the message is somewhat blurry. You can make out almost words. You can see where the words were. And what they've done in the past is using our computer technology, our software, to try to enhance that portion of the photograph to come up with what it says. And there's been a long discussion about this.
We're going to maybe do a CSI kind of routine here with that paper. We have Kevin D. Randall joining Gene and Chris here in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Oklahoma reminds us there are many kinds of storms in our lives. Nature regularly sends us destructive storms. 24 hours before a storm strikes, people panic. It would be wise to prepare ahead of the panic curve. The food price storm from drought and livestock problems is forecast to hit ridiculous heights by the end of the summer. Wonder if there will really be a problem? eFoods Direct has a plan to maximize your food dollar and guarantee you will be glad you ordered food. Until June 30th, buy three of any food item and receive the fourth one free with free shipping. The guarantee. After September 20th, when you've seen what happened with food prices and shortages, if you're not glad you ordered food, return the food unopened for a full refund. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. Your peace of mind guarantee. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have Kevin D. Randall, and we're focusing on their dream team and the studies of the Roswell case, and we're focusing on a photograph of a document, and you're using computer enhancement, and I think on TV shows, basically police procedurals or CSI, they are always focusing on some document or something and sharpening it up and making it readable. So tell us more. What have you accomplished so far?
That's exactly what we're attempting to do. The problem is usually on those programs, they've got a little bit better straight-on view of whatever they're trying to enhance so that they can bring it forward. We're dealing with something that was taken on photographic film over 60 years ago, and the paper was slightly turned. It was slightly folded, and it was not the area of focus of the photograph. So we're dealing with some problems that they wouldn't have been dealing with on CSI-type programs. But what we've been able to do using modern software is enhance it. And I hesitate to use the word enhance because that implies we've added something to it. All we've done is kind of sharpen the image, focus on the image, so that we can read it a little bit better. And we're to the point where we think we've got something fairly interesting going on, but we've got additional steps to take. So, you know, we're getting to the point where we can read a little bit more of it, a little bit, understand it a little bit better. And if certain phrases pop up, then we've got some very, very persuasive evidence. The other problem we have is, too often priming comes into play, and priming is a psychological term, which means that you set somebody up to see something by suggesting it to them. And Jim Horan and I had done an experiment back in the 1990s in which we used that document, the Ramey Memo, and to three different groups, a control group, a group that was told, well, this has something to do with Roswell, and a group that says this has something to do with atomic weaponry. and then ask the subjects to see what they could make out on it. And the priming did influence them by telling them it was something to do with atomic weaponry. They saw things in the memo that suggested that to them. And so there were areas where we got good agreement on what the words were. People could see the words, and they all agreed on it. And other places where, depending on the group they were in, they saw things. The word that comes to mind is flash, which I don't think is in the memo at all. But the atomic weaponry group saw the word flash in there somewhere, like an atomic flash when the bomb went off. So we're trying to compensate for all of that, meaning simply we're trying to make sure we're not engaged in priming, we're not engaged in leading the people doing the research for us in a direction. So we're making some progress, and we hope to have some very definitive results. We've got some good results, and some people are sharpening the images a little bit. So we're working in that direction, and once we get that all put together, we'll release exactly what we've done and how we've done it and how we got to this point, so that everybody can see the steps we took to get there, and then the skeptics can begin to pick it apart.
Well, the thing I'm going to ask here is, can you say anything at all or give us a hint where this is going,
or is it too premature? Well, but we're a little bit premature, but the argument has always been about a key phrase called victims of the wreck, which is in the first line of the Rainey memo. If it says victims of the wreck, that's pretty persuasive evidence that we're dealing with something that crashed and there were victims of it. If it says remains of the wreck, well, that's something else again, because remains could, in fact, be the weather balloon that was recovered. Victims implies there was occupants. Remains doesn't make that implication. So we're focusing on that phrase, and I think everybody knows we've been focusing on that phrase. And there's another couple of key phrases that relate to the shape of the object. So we're just attempting to sharpen that up in a way that we do not add anything to what all we're doing is clarifying what the message says. And unfortunately, in the CSI programs, they can always just focus right in on the thing and bring up the most obscure detail, and this just isn't working quite that well.
Of course, on the CSI program, you have 43 minutes to get it all done, a case that may take days or weeks or months to resolve. Let me just ask you, go ahead.
And they have access to technology that doesn't even exist yet.
Well, you know, they deal with the people over at Area 51. They consult. I mean, this is a show about Las Vegas criminal investigations. So they've got Area 51 over there.
I thought of that, yes.
And you have people like powerhouse producers like Jerry Bruckheimer, who's responsible for that show. So he calls up somebody at the NSA and says, let's have some new inventions here. Of course, you look at how the government knows about us anyway. Look at Person of Interest. Ever see that show?
No.
You've heard about it.
Yeah, I know what it is, yes.
Okay. So that's science fiction, I guess. The guy builds this computer that sees everything and knows everything, but there's a back door that spits out information about people who may be in trouble because they will be victims of a crime or will commit a crime, and therefore you have these two people played by Michael Emerson and Jim Caviezel who go out and save them.
Well, there used to be a program on a number of years ago where the guy got tomorrow's newspaper today, and so he would go through it and save people from crimes and things like that. The early edition was what it was called, and he just happened to get the next day's newspaper a day early through some kind of time warp, and so he could go out and do that. So I guess the same thing.
Yeah, let me just ask you the devil's advocate question.
Yes.
Before we split for this segment, that is, okay, so we talk about the possibility that this memo is speaking of wreckage. Why not a crashed test aircraft?
Because the Air Force told us that there was nothing that fell in that time frame. There's nothing that was classified in 1947 that we don't know about today in the terms of experimentation with new aircraft. And the Air Force looked into that in 1995 and said that there was nothing like that. If it was a test aircraft that crashed in 1947, what sort of technology would have been in that wouldn't have already been deployed in some fashion so that our adversaries in the world would know about it? Second of all, it would be so far outdated by our technological leaps that it would be virtually useless. The same thing with rockets. We have a listing. I have a listing of all the rockets fired from White Sands Missile Range through the mid-1950s, and they're all accounted for. There's nothing missing from the record. So we can look at the records. We can look at the documentation that exists, and we say it's not this because, and it's the same thing for some kind of a test aircraft. We had been told early on in the investigation that it had been an early attempt to put somebody into orbit that had crashed, and they had killed, you know, the people who had been killed in the crash. And you think, well, this would be a reason certainly to cover it up because you just killed a bunch of people for no reason. But we could never find anything to say that was what it was. There was no evidence whatsoever. And like I said, we spent time at the White Sands Missile Range, and we went through their records, and they were very helpful with this. So we looked at all that kind of experimentation that might account for this, and we couldn't find anything that was even suggested. In fact, at the White Sands Missile Range, they'd lost a missile in May of 47, crashed, got off the range, and the range officer couldn't get it destroyed, and it fell near Juarez, Mexico. I think it crashed near a cemetery. Nobody was hurt, but they had a moratorium on firings up through July 3rd, I think it was. And the July 3rd firing, the thing blew up on the pad and injured a bunch of people. So we can say from the period of mid-May 1947 up through the first week in July of 1947, they didn't fire anything at White Sands because there was a moratorium on firing because of that accident in May. So we looked at all those records, and we couldn't find anything. And that would be the explanation why it can't be an experimental aircraft. It can't be a rocket or anything like that, because we looked and we couldn't find anything.
So it could not have been something that we picked up from the Germans, because by now that information would have come out. It's not something that we'd want to classify. Let's return, as we move into our next segment, just briefly to the citizen hearing on disclosure. We've done a number of sessions on it, partly because Chris O'Brien was one of the camera people working with Ron James and producing the video feed from that thing. We've got Kevin D. Randall joining us. The book is Alien Mysteries, Conspiracies and Cover-Ups, and we'll get to that in a moment. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes
Okay, can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So possibly because we don't hear from Chris O'Brien on this episode, do you think, Kevin Randall, that Chris is avoiding you?
I would see no reason for that. I saw him in Washington, D.C. We said hello and never crossed paths again, but he was very busy with what he was doing, and I was off having a good time.
Oh, and he hasn't really told us about all the wacky things he did, just kind of the straight-ahead things. Okay, I think one of the criticisms made about the citizen hearing of disclosure is that some of the people, very few of the people there, maybe if there was a proper vetting process, should not have been there because they don't really help in terms of presenting a scientific case for UFOs. I think you know what I mean.
Well, yes. If I was picking the people to present at this, there would have been some people I would have avoided picking. And that really comes down to more of a personal preference, too. To be honest, I wouldn't have done anything on MJ-12. I think most people in the UFO community, I think most people who know anything about MJ-12 realize that the thing was a hoax from the very beginning. And there was a two-hour discussion about MJ-12. I wouldn't have had that discussion, which is not to say that Robert Woods isn't a good guy. He's very, very knowledgeable, very intelligent. He hasn't answered my question about Project Aquarius yet, which is really the first incarnation of MJ-12. When that didn't fly, they came up with MJ-12. But I would have avoided MJ-12, for example. But on the other side of the coin, I thought that the things done with the Bentwaters guys was very interesting. The missileers, the guys in the missile silos, was very interesting, because here you've got guys who had very responsible jobs, and they're talking about UFOs knocking our missiles offline, which, if the Soviets had been able to do something like that, would have been very frightening. So that becomes an issue of national security at that point, that the UFOs could knock the missiles offline, which means all that stuff was not part of the Blue Book system. So you've got some very interesting things like that going on, and you've got some stuff that I didn't agree with, but that's my personal opinion.
What sort of reaction have you seen to the citizen hearing on disclosure? The New York Times did a pretty favorable piece, but others kind of exaggerated the more negative aspects, like they always do.
Oh, there was one newspaper, and I don't know what it was, kept going to the woo-woo crowd. There were apparently two people that were wearing headbands with crystals on them one day there. I never saw them, so I don't know that they were there. I know that the newspaper also printed a picture of guys with green face paint on playing instruments at some outdoor venue, which was not part of this at all. They weren't even there. They just had a picture of guys in green paint, so they threw it up there as if this was part of what was going on in Washington. So that coverage was not only unfair, it was untrue.
Do you think, though, Kevin, that this kind of coverage is done because they just don't believe in UFOs? There's a corporate edict to stay away from the subject? What?
Part of it is that they know that there's no such thing as alien visitation, ergo there can be any proof of alien visitation. So the only thing they can do is make fun of it. Because if they even suggest that they might be interested in this, then they get tarred with the brush of being a nutcase. And I think that's going through the whole media. It's going through the scientific community as well, and we've documented that time and again. Don Schmidt and I were going to do an interview at the Chicago Tribune right after our first Roswell book had come out, and we ended up doing the interview in the hallway with an intern. And she told us that the editors knew that there was nothing to this, and so that was why she was assigned to it. They wouldn't even look at the evidence. They weren't interested in the evidence. I think one of the things that was important here was that an awful lot of credible evidence was presented. You had people who were clearly who they said they were, who had experienced these. John Callahan, for example, from the FAA was there, and he's got boxes of material that he brought in to show the radar tracings from the Japanese airliner flight that was bugged by the UFO back in 1986, 1987. He's got the radar traces. He's got all this documentation. He's got the video of the radar scopes and everything like that. So instead of saying, well, you know, this airplane was buzzed by a UFO, he says, well, you know, here's the documentation for it. Here's what happened. Here's what the people said. And I know that when the skeptics got a hold of the Japanese case, they said, well, you know what, the guy was seeing was extraterrestrial, of course, but it was Jupiter and Mars who were in a sort of a position where they might have been mistaken for something bright UFO-like objects. But if you go back and you look at the descriptions given by the airline crew, well, clearly that doesn't fit, and Jupiter and Mars don't show up on the radar scopes. There were two separate radar trackings of the thing from two separate radars. So you've got some very persuasive evidence. So when you look at that sort of thing and you have an opportunity to present this persuasive evidence, and the one thing that I did was when they talked about the ending of Project Blue Book, I talked to them about the Hitler letter. Hitler was a Air Force officer who wrote to the Condon Committee explaining to him what they wanted to do. We've got to end Project Blue Book. We've got to explain it in such a way the public is satisfied. We've got to say some positive things about the Air Force handling of the investigation. Then we got to close Blue Book. And Robert Lowe from the Condon Committee wrote back and said, yeah, we got it. We'll do that. And then the next thing you know, Condon is saying, well, I'm inclined to end this thing right now, but I'm not supposed to come to that conclusion for another 18 months. So, I mean, we can demonstrate through the documentation that the ending of Project Blue Book was really a conspiracy to end Project Blue Book and convince the public there was nothing to UFOs. You go through the Condon Committee report, 35% of the cases aren't explained. One of them is explained as a natural phenomenon so rare that it's never been seen before or since. I mean, that's right in the Condon Committee report. And you would think, scientifically speaking, that if you'd identified something like that, a natural phenomenon that rare, that you'd want to do something more to investigate it, to see what else it might explain. But they don't do that. They say, well, if there's nothing to it, we're going to stop it now. And so we were able to present a lot of evidence to people who were fairly skeptical about that. The congressional representatives, they were skeptical about what was going on. We had an opportunity to present some very credible evidence. If I did not agree with some of the evidence, and again, I go back to MJ-12, if I did not agree with the evidence, that wasn't my call. And I just avoided that session. So I sat in one session with Stan Friedman right beside me, and the first session, and they were doing some of the history, and they were talking about where the Project Mogul balloons were launched, and the panelists, the historians, couldn't seem to answer the question. And Stan and I shouted out about the same time, Alamogordo. They were launched in Alamogordo. And so There was a lot of that sort of stuff going on, but I think overall you take a look at the evidence presented and the documentation presented that it made a very favorable profession. And I sat down with the New York Times guy for an hour and a half and chatted with him about that to make sure that he understood that the perception that there's no good evidence for UFOs or alien visitation is simply not true, and all you need to do is tell me what you want in the way of evidence, and I will point you in that direction, and you can go take a look at it and see if it's persuasive to you.
What was his reaction? Did he give you some information he'd like you to look up?
No, I was directing him to information. We chatted with him a number of times. And Don Schmidt and I chatted with him a number of times, and all we were doing was providing him with the evidence for alien visitation. You know, they'd say, well, there's no good evidence. What do you want? You want photographs? There's some very good photographs. You want movie footage? Some very good movie footage. You want landing trace cases? There's 4,500 of them. You want radar cases? We've got cases with multiple chains of evidence. The Leveland case from 1957, for crying out loud, you had witnesses at 13 separate locations talking about the UFO interacting with the environment, and now we find out, some 50 years too late, that there was a landing trace involved in Roswell that the sheriff was involved in, and he never said anything because the Air Force asked him not to talk about it. And I mean, where we would have had a landing trace, we would have had electromagnetic effects, and we've got multiple witnesses at multiple locations. I mean, talk about a stunning case. And what happened? The Air Force argued with NICAP, the civilian organization, about whether or not who was telling the truth about the number of witnesses. Don Kehoe at NICAP said there were 9 witnesses. The Air Force said, no, Kehoe's lying. There were only 3. And you go through the documentation. In the Project Blue Book files, you can find 13 separate locations where people saw this thing, and there were multiple witnesses at some of the locations. So there were way more than 13 witnesses. So they were busy arguing about this when they should have been arguing about the interaction of the UFO with the environment and the landing traces and all of that other stuff.
All the side issues kind of dominating here, and you don't get down to the core of the mystery.
Which, of course, the Air Force wanted.
It's good politics to kind of divert the discussion. That's done in Congress all the time. That's why they don't solve anything. The book is called Alien Mysteries, Conspiracies, and Cover-Ups. We'll get into some things in that book in a moment. We have Kevin Randall joining Gene and Chris. Once again, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. alkalize your body, supercharge your health at alkavision.com.